Tim, where are you? Ah, there. Okay. What a privilege and honor to be able to celebrate with you as a congregation this morning on this momentous morning. Wow, 23 years, Tim, pastor of one congregation. That's nearly a quarter of a century, you know. And that's really quite remarkable. Just for some context, in Central District Conference, the 46 churches of Central District Conference, yesterday was your last day, right, Tim, officially? As of yesterday, Tim was the longest serving pastor continuously in a Central District Conference church. It's pretty incredible. It just doesn't happen very often, and it's worth celebration. Mennonite Church of Normal. Wow, you've stuck with Tim for 23 years. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty awesome. Partnering with him, encouraging him, challenging him, laughing with him, probably laughing at him sometimes, sharing and honing his gifts, finding ways to complement his gifts with other gifts. This just doesn't happen very often, 23 years. It's something to celebrate. And wow, Sue, you also have been here to share your gifts in the community, in this congregation, and sharing those in multiple ways. Thank you for your service to this congregation and to this community. It too is worth celebration. On behalf of Central District Conference, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Sue. And thank you, Mennonite Church of Normal, for modeling faithful ministry for the long run. And I'm sure Daryl Miller would also say on behalf of Illinois Conference, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for modeling faithful discipleship and ministry. Well, I'm grateful for scripture that has something to say about endings and beginnings, hellos and goodbyes, holding on and letting go. In fact, some of the most powerful images and stories are of these beginnings and endings. The creation story in Genesis, an incredible beginning story. The new heavens and the new earth in Revelation. The calling of leaders and prophets like Esther or Jesus and Lydia. The song of Mary at Jesus' birth and Jesus' words to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, "Do not hold on to me, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Indeed, much of Scripture is written for times of transition, for change, of letting go and beginning again, of dying and rising to new life. And many of these transitions invite a pensive stance, a thoughtful, reflective, patient, discerning spirit. 40 years in the wilderness, for example, or the 40 days turning during which Jesus discerns his ministry and wrestles with the tempter. These are indeed pensive times for God's people. Times of transition invite questions such as, what just happened? And where do we go from here? What just happened? And where do we go from here? Last summer, I had the opportunity to spend 10 days with my family in the Baltic states of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. These are old world kingdom nations that have experienced one occupation after another throughout their history, most recently the occupations of Germany and then Russia. Independent and self-governing now, the scars and the trauma remain a part of their social psyche. And as we walked through the various cities and looked at the images, the statues, the various things that helped describe who they were, as we walked through some of their churches, ancient churches that have been there for millennia, We all saw on occasion an image, a particular image that reappeared again and again. Sometimes it's a large wooden sculpture, 6, 7, 8 feet tall. Other times it is small, a hand-sized image meant to sit on a desk or a shelf. And now I know you can't see this from out there, but they refer to this image as the pensive Christ. The pensive Christ. This image is of a seated Jesus, head bowed and tipped slightly to one side, his hand supporting the side of his face. This is a Jesus in deep thought and prayer, wondering about life and death, pondering faith, loving the world, reflecting on experience, contemplating what is next. As I thought about the horrific experiences of the Baltic people, their land a battleground for centuries, their families ripped and torn apart by war, I'm not surprised of their interest in the pensive Christ. Pensive means disposed to deep or serious thought. A synonym with a more religious overtone might be contemplative. Times of transition, I'm convinced, are rich with opportunities for pensive reflection and contemplation of faith, if we take the time. Our temptation, however, is often to try to move as quickly through transition as we can. End one thing and begin the next with as little space in between as possible. After all, we don't want to be accused of wasting time or missing an opportunity. We are taught in many ways to strive for efficiency and productivity, sitting quietly with face in hand, staring off into space or at the floor, seems like a holy waste of time. Thomas Merton, a Catholic monk of the middle 20th century, was once asked what he considered to be the major spiritual disease in the Western world. What do you think he said? Efficiency. The major spiritual disease in the Western world, he said, is efficiency, because from government offices down to the nursery, we have to keep the plant running, and afterwards, we've no energy left for anything else. The mighty hard diagnosis to hear. We have cheap food because of efficient farmers and processors and packagers and shippers. We have cheap clothes because of efficient textile and clothing factories and just-in-time delivery systems. In fact, much of our overstuffed closets and garages and attics are a result of tremendous efficiency. We can afford things. Yet efficiency does have its downside, as Merton expressed. How do we find energy for the Spirit's work of transforming lives, our own lives, and others? How do we find some time to sit and listen and reflect and wonder and imagine and pray? We have many examples of such people in Scripture, pensive people of God, wondering what God is up to, wandering in the wilderness and asking, what does this mean? Or what is the best, wise, faithful next step? Sue and Tim, you are in transition. Your ministry and daily life in Normal, Illinois has come to an end. You are moving to Kansas. Yesterday was Tim's last day of any ministerial or professional responsibilities in this congregation. No doubt, Tim could easily have said the words that Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:12, I still have many things to say to you. I've never experienced Tim as one to run out of words or stories or jokes. But I also think that Tim, in his wisdom, also understood the words of Jesus when Jesus said a few verses earlier, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." Yes, Tim has more that he could teach us. Yes, Tim loves you. Yes, he could continue to be your pastor. But there are other advocates, other gifted individuals, other wise teachers, other counselors and guides and preachers whose presence will be a gift to you. Take to heart the words of Hebrews 13, 1-2 that we heard earlier as well. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Watch for angels. They will be here. They are here among you. Welcome the strangers who come to you, whether they are here to visit or to serve, to challenge or to comfort. Welcome Jim to this place of ministry. Welcome Gary Martin when he comes in January. Welcome others who are called to serve among you during this time of transition. Tim and Sue, you too will encounter strangers as you make your home in an old yet new community. You both have gifts and skills and experiences and wisdom and love to share with others. You have endless opportunities to serve. You have some ideas of what that might look like, I'm sure. You've been planning for this for some time. Yet may the pensive Christ also sit with you, inviting you to periods of reflection and contemplation, wondering what this season called retirement means and what new, perhaps undreamed of, opportunities you'll encounter in your new community. Ways to allow love to continue. You can be inefficient and unproductive anytime that you want. And you can pray for your family, pray for the church, pray for your neighbors and friends, pray for God's beautiful yet vulnerable creation, pray for yourselves, pray for healing and hope, pray for peace. Pensive farewells. Holy transitions, hopeful opportunities. These are elements of change in the church and in our world. Are there other words of wisdom and instruction that we can glean from the scriptures read earlier from the Gospel of John and the letter to the Hebrews? Jesus' farewell address, as sometimes these chapters are called in John, begin in chapter 13. Where Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he gives them the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. His final words continue through chapters 14, 15, and 16, and then Jesus ends prays for his disciples throughout chapter 17. So again, this is a long section of a farewell that Jesus is giving to his disciples. In all of this preparation for his departure, Jesus offers them one assurance which is fully dependent on his departure. If he does not go away, this gift cannot be received. If I do not go away, the advocate or helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send the advocate to you. If I do not go away, the advocate or helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send the advocate to you. We typically understand this advocate to be the Holy Spirit, the mysterious, untamed, energizing, inspirational third person of the Holy Trinity. Our early Anabaptist forebears were both radical Bible readers and radical spiritualists. The Word of God, they believed, was revealed in the words of Scripture and in the wild, energizing, mystical activity of the Holy Spirit. They paid attention to both the Word, the written Word, and the movement of the Holy Spirit. It is this emphasis on the Spirit, in addition to the written Word, that separated Anabaptists from some of the other Reformers who wished to rely more entirely on the written Word of God. And this allowed the Scripture to be a living document, breathing new life and wisdom into every generation of those who seek to be the people of God. And this Word and Spirit are to be continually discerned and tested within the community of faith, the people of God. The Spirit of God is here among you in this gathered community of faith. Pay attention. Pay attention to the Spirit. Mennonites, as Glenn Guyton, executive director of Mennonite Church USA, likes to say, Mennonites don't have a pope. We don't rely on a hierarchical or a hierarchy of inspired leaders to tell us ultimate truths about God, Christ, and the church. As pastors with training and experience, Tim and Jane have been gifted to you as a to the congregation. They have gifts to share with you, experiences, training, learning. They shared this knowledge of Scripture and faith with you. Pastors in the Mennonite Church also have relational authority and are given authority by the church to offer their gifts to teach and preach and counsel and challenge and encourage and walk with and much more. Perhaps a pastor's greatest calling is to assist in the development of healthy relationships, honest and full and meaningful relationships, so that a congregation's mission can be fulfilled. It is your mission. When there is a high level of trust in a community and where the gifts and wisdom of all are honored and blessed and affirmed, amazing things will happen. People will honestly sense the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the comforter, the friend, which Jesus promised to his disciples. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, is in this place, within this community of faith. Yes, you have, as a congregation, walked through some challenging times, difficult times, as you ended your pastoral relationship with Pastor Matt. The Holy Comforter is with you and with Matt and his family. The Holy Comforter is with you. Yes, you've been vulnerable and honest with one another as you've studied Scripture, heard personal stories, and discerned together your relationship with people who identify as LGBTQ. The Holy Friend of God is with you, with all of you. Yes, Pastor Tim's ministry has ended. And yes, Pastor Jane will also depart soon. The Holy Advocate of Christ is with you. Tim, your ministry is changing. The rhythms of the church that guided your schedule day to day, week to week, are shifting. And unknown opportunities await. The Holy Spirit is with you. And what do we do in the midst of all this shifting and changing and unknown opportunity? I think the words of Hebrews 13 offer some wise counsel. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, those who are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Proclaim with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Confess that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow forever. Engage in these ministries. Follow Christ daily in life and take time to sit with the pensive Christ and wonder, where is God leading next? May the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, be with you today and forever. Amen.